This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
We're back again with another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. I'm not going to say for how many weeks in a row because I have no clue, but I'm going to say like 90% of the time, maybe 95% of the time, I am your co-host, Ben, with my other co-host.
Yeah, your other co-host, me.
Ashley and I are back again. We're here very consistently right now. I feel like we're doing a great job at sticking out during COVID.
You and I have not like had to have fill-ins in the longest time, and that's because we're recording remotely. So beforehand, yeah, we were always in the studio and we were doing set days, and there was like sometimes reasons that you couldn't be there on set day, but you know, when you could do it remotely, it would be odd if Ben and I both couldn't find an hour that we were both free a week. So
it's tough not being around you and being able to see your facial expressions and like working off of your energy in studio. But I will say that doing it remote has added like, I don't know, maybe some other people,
I'd say
consistency. And then also it's just easier not to be traveling so much.
Yeah. I mean, you're still traveling, right? But we're doing it pretty safely. And Jared and I are doing lots of little trips. That's been my favorite thing about this time period has been kind of taking advantage of the outdoors around you, right? Because yeah, we all know the outdoors is the safest place to be these days. And summer has obviously made doing little things outside easy and fun. And I think we're going to start all getting kind of cabin fever again once the temperatures go down. But we've been doing like nice little fun adventures, especially on the East Coast. It's so easy to do that. Like we went to Block Island and we went to Nantucket, and they're just ferry rides over there. And it's just, it's cool because it's exploration, special, you know? It's like little, it's discovering the magic that is America. I think America is such an underrated beauty. I think we talked about this. I don't know what trip we went on, but I think we went on a trip and I just realized, I was like, America is so underrated. There are so many cool and stunning spots.
Oh, it's gorgeous. You remember, we're entering into this season again, just a few months away, where puzzles suddenly sold out and people were stuck inside doing puzzles and arts and crafts and finding things to do in the winter. Is it not wild, Ashley, to think that we are only a few months away from that happening once again?
It's bizarre. It's so weird. It makes me just...
It's so weird.
Do you like ever think about... I mean, now we're getting really personal, but do you ever think about selling your Denver place and then moving to Tennessee and like doing your life differently now just because you don't have any idea when things might start getting normal again?
Well, I think that's a common question for everybody, and you tie into a great question for this week to all of our listeners. Listeners, how, like, what new life decisions are you making that were maybe unexpected a year and a half ago that are now on the front of your mind? And for me, I'm not considering moving from Denver because Denver is a great place to get outside. And I know it's a place that Jess and I do want to call home for a period of time. But the one thing that COVID has kind of made me think of doing is even like downsizing so that I can be closer to her family, my family, and friends more often. And I can just pick up and go. And I think a lot of people, from what I'm hearing, are leaving these bigger cities right now and moving back home or moving to smaller towns once again, which we never thought would happen. That was a totally unexpected thing because they're finding that the quality of life on these smaller towns is pretty great. It's great for these places.
They're calling it like mass exits, you know, like a mass exodus of New York and LA. And it just makes me think like, I feel like I've been wasting so many months of rent, right? Because we rent our place. We love our place in LA. It's such a bargain. It's like a steal, which is why we would never want to get rid of it for, you know, the next couple years. But then I'm also like, if this is going to last, who knows how long? Maybe this is just going to end up being a huge waste of money and we could have put that towards buying a house on the East Coast. Anyway.
It's It's all questions to consider, and people are asking those questions now. We're in that phase of this pandemic that people now are starting to pick their heads up, look around, and go, what will life look like? Well, obviously, this is a Bachelor-focused podcast. We are going to be breaking down all of the hot topics going on in Bachelor Nation. I mean, we have headlines ranging from when and where Matt James's season is going to be filmed to some more details on Claire's season. Exciting things coming up. But before we do, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to break down all of the Bachelor headlines from this week. First headline is Claire Crawley's Bachelorette gets premiere day as ABC promises, listen to this, Ashley, we need you to explain this, explosive turn of events.
So the supposed switcheroo of Bachelorette would, is that, that seems like what that's pointing to. ABC did announce on Thursday that the season of The Bachelorette will be premiering 2-hour episode on Tuesday, October 13th. Don't forget that this season, The Bachelorette will be on Tuesdays, and Dancing with the Stars, where you can watch Caitlin Bristow, will be on Monday nights. So you kind of get your double dose of Bachelor there. They don't really say anything else about the season. They actually don't even make mention of Tayshia. So it's still up in the air as to when they will officially announce this, or if they even will. Perhaps they just think that it'll be fun if they never bring it up, if Tayshia's not ever seen in any promo, and it just happens one day while we're watching the show.
It's all still so up in the air, and honestly, ever since the announcement came out, we know very little. There hasn't been any other rumors or any other details given, which makes it exciting for us as the viewer. So there's still a lot up in the air, but as Ashley just said, The Bachelorette will be airing on Tuesday, speaking of Claire's season. Wait.
Did you see the poster, the promo poster?
I've seen the trailer. I'm assuming the poster is mocked off. Is it the respect?
Okay, go look it up. You need to see it because I need to know your analysis on it. It's kind of weird. So Claire is looking very sexy in the corner of a room, pretty seductive. But then in the foreground is a picture of a man putting a sock on. And I'm thinking it's a play on the Graduate poster where you know, Dustin Hoffman's in the background and then she's got the stocking rolled up on her leg in the foreground. But I'm just like really weirded out because are they like trying to make it seem like Claire's some cougar? Like she's an elder to the boys?
That would be weird. Let me look it up. I'll let you know. But by the time we're done with headlines, I will have it looked up and I'll have my analysis given. Ashley, we're mentioning the premiere date and the poster, but I said it a little bit ago in passing, but did you see the Respect trailer that just came out?
It's very cute. They have clips of Claire's past where she's demanding respect for a man. And, you know, she's walking around, spinning that rose, looking super hot. Doesn't give us any clips or teasers as to what her season's going to be like. But we know that she's going to bring that powerful woman presence, stand up for herself and demand respect. And what's a word besides respect that she's going to demand of these men? Like maturity?
Yeah. I mean, I think Claire knows what she wants. And I think not only will she want respect, which everybody wants, but she's also going to bring a level of maturity, clarity, and I think honesty that will be important to push everybody forward. And probably, I always think that honesty brings out vulnerability. And so I bet we're going to see some vulnerability as well.
Yeah.
But speaking of Claire's season, Dale Moss is all smiles. We see him running in New York City following, you know, the rumors with him and Claire.
Yeah, so remember how, like, I think last week we said we thought that the two of them would be confined to the La Quinta Resort throughout filming? Should we do a spoiler alert before that?
I mean, no, because we still don't know where this ends and how it ends. We just know it's rumored that something happens between him and Claire.
Okay, yes. So the guy that Claire supposedly, you know, falls for was seen out and about in New York. So I guess he is no longer confined to La Quinta. We saw Claire at La Quinta last week. We were assuming that she would end up staying there the entire time to keep secrets, right? So that she wouldn't be out and about and being it being obvious to the fandom that she is no longer filming. But a very happy man is seen in this picture smiling. You can check out the photo on Life and Style's website. And there are some other spoilers that we won't go into, but if you are somebody who likes spoilers, go ahead and read that article.
He definitely is all smiles. He's running. It looks like he's probably running pretty fast. He's got a good stride on him. He looks like he's a happy man. Who knows what that
means?
Is
he a happy man because there's a paparazzi taking a picture of him? Or he's just happy because he's running and moving his body and feeling alive?
I wish I knew every time a paparazzi took a picture of me, but I've had some really bad ones out there. I wish I looked this good every time a paparazzi was taking a picture. Half the time, I'm in sweats, my hat's all messed up, or my hair's undone. I'm frowning just because that's the way I rest. I don't know. It's rough. It's a rough life. He doesn't look that bad.
He's shining.
He looks pretty good. He's shining. Next headline. This is one that's interesting and I would say typically happens in breakups, but Colton Underwood and Cassie Randolph unfollow each other on Instagram 3 months after their split.
Yep. I mean, pretty much the headline says it all. How do you feel about unfollowing? Are you an unfollower? Did you unfollow Lauren? Let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it was like healthy. We did it pretty much right away and we had talked about it. Like, mostly, as soon as the breakup happened, we both knew that this was going to be brutally hard. And so I remember us saying, yeah, like, it's not like this just needs we just need to cut ties because any like we're going to already see a lot of each other. You're already going to be I'm going to see your pictures pop up different places. Let's make this easier and possible. Now, it was pretty soon after our breakup. The interesting here is one is, you know, we talked about it. Like, Colton still has hung out with Greg Sulkin, who is dating Cassie's sister. And now we hear that Greg had stopped following Colton as well.
Oh, interesting. So maybe it's a total family cutoff. They, of course, had the intention of remaining friends. And I think that's so often the intention. And then you realize it's just not a good plan. Or it's something you tell each other to make yourselves feel better in the moment. And then once it starts to fade, you go, oh, okay, we didn't actually have to be friends.
I don't know many of my buddies who have a breakup that's meaningful that stays like close friends right away, right? I have exes that I'm friends with and that I admire and want to see the best for. But right away, it just isn't like, it just doesn't, it's not a clean break ever. Mm-mm. I don't know anybody, I can't say ever. I've never known anybody to have a clean break. And so it's not surprising. This isn't a shocking headline, but it does speak to probably where their relationship is at and that they're both moving forward without each other in each other's lives.
Yeah. Did you creep on exes once you broke up and unfollowed them? You would still go back and look at the profile.
Yes.
There is just something so strong about clicking unfollow.
It's like a bad addiction. Mm-hmm. It pulls you back in over and over again. And you do it, like I almost did it, I remember back in the day, like almost to feel the pain. Like,
it was stupid.
I would look at it to like hurt.
Absolutely. You're like, I'm not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it really, really quick. And then you do it. And then you always find something that hurts you more. And there is, I say this all the time, there's some sort of beauty in the pain. And we get addicted to that overwhelming sense of feeling, you know? It's just like we want to feel. We're addicted to feeling deeply, even if it's like feeling bad.
Yeah, I wonder what it would be that we're actually looking for. Like, if I would click on an ex's page and see them looking stunning, that makes me mad because I'm like, wait, whoa, that's stupid. And then I see him happy, and then I'm like just selfishly mad at them for being happy. And then I see him sad, and I'm sad for them because I don't want him really being that sad. Like, there was a no-win like some there when I was going back to look at these pages, but I did it for some, like, I wanted to fulfill some hole in my heart.
There's some past crushes of mine that I still follow or that I'll check back in with, like, just to see their profile. Just because now I'm so happy and settled, and I'm just genuinely curious what's going on in their life. But I don't think you can do that soon after. I think this is a years after thing where it becomes just curiosity.
I agree. Well, speaking of exes and talking about exes, I just want to give everybody a reminder to go back and listen to our in-depth episode with Andy Dorfman, yes, which aired last week. She is awesome, so cool, and super open, and we had a great conversation with her about all of her exes and her, you know, writing about her exes and her time on the show and her time off the show. So just go back, listen to that in-depth episode. That's one that we've waited for years, yeah, and it was far exceeded our expectations.
I loved it. I loved it.
Next headline is Rachel Lindsay thinks being bi-coastal will test, and that's in quotes, her relationship with Brian. This according to Us Weekly.
Yeah, so congratulations to Rachel. She's now an official regular correspondent on Extra. That is amazing. But this is also going to make her bi-coastal. And that this is when the pandemic cools down a bit more. She says it's going to be a test to her relationship with Brian. She says she's just addicted to working. And Brian doesn't hold that against her at all. He actually loves that she's obsessed with working, and he's very supportive of it. She also says that he always tells people that the main thing that he's attracted to about her is her ambition. So there's a great understanding between the two of them. It's not always easy to be long distance or for her to be such a workaholic, but he's very supportive of what she's doing, and she's supportive of what he's doing. But it will be a test still.
I mean, you can't get any farther apart than LA and Miami.
Yeah, I mean, if I think about this, I don't think it would. It's easier said than done, though. I feel like I would be fine doing long distance for a period of time, but long term without knowing if there was an end point would be hard. Like, you're currently doing it right now, but you have an end point. You especially had an end point before Corona. But I guess with Rachel and Brian, he is going to stay firmly in Miami for now. So that is hard. That's challenging.
It's challenging. I do think it's a test, but a test cannot always be bad, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get the excitement of seeing each other again. You get the kind of the anxious feelings when you know you're on your way to see your partner. That's all good. And as we speak, you know, they are celebrating their anniversary in Aruba right now. And so all of that is, you know, is pointing to, hey, they want to make this work. This is going to be a positive thing for them. They've talked it through as a couple. It's just a challenge, and challenges come up in relationships. Speaking of challenges, Victoria Fuller, you might know her as Victoria F, posts about on Instagram about waiting for him to apologize amid, and we're relating this back to the Chris Soules relationship. This again, according to Us Weekly.
So this was super interesting to me when I saw her Instagram post with this caption, because I said, sassy, is this a sub post? You know, like we used to call it subtweets when the tweet was obviously about somebody, but you're trying to play it off as big. Well, she says in the caption, when you're sitting there waiting for him to apologize, but he don't know he did something wrong because you didn't tell him, because he should know. So, is she waiting for him to apologize for something that he did, but didn't know it was wrong?
I mean, what would that have been, right? Like, there's just so much to that we don't know, but we hope he knows now. That we hope it points it. But again, do we even know this is about Soules?
What would this be? Why would she post that? Like, this picture of her being like very seductive, bikini, legs spread on a bed, an outdoor bed. And she's saying, you're sitting there waiting for him to apologize. Why would she post that if it was not about anyone? Was she just thinking that it was a funny caption and that her face looked slightly pissed off?
Maybe. Like, that could be, that's the best case scenario for the two of them right now. That's the best case.
My theory is she wouldn't post this if it was something really big, like a really big problem, because they have been so private about their relationship that I don't think now she'd be like, I'm going to call him out on Instagram. I think maybe they had like a funny little nothing fight and maybe he just needed a reality check.
That's a good point. They've been so private about their relationship since the beginning when we started to hear the rumors of it. We did get a confirmation that they were dating, and so we know that those rumors at some level were true. It would be a radical move, and it wouldn't be necessarily similar to what they've done with their relationship so far for her to go this far and for the first time really announce her relationship with him and also call him out at the same time. So who knows? We don't know. However, this was posted, and it brings up the rumors, and it's worthy enough for us to talk about. Now, something that's definitely worthy to talk about, something we're all excited for. Not only are we excited for Claire slash possibly Tayshia's season of The Bachelorette, but we're also very excited for The Bachelor season. And it was announced the filming location for Matt James's season. It's now revealed. This, according to Reality Steve.
Yeah. So this is according to Reality Steve. He says that the filming will begin late September at the Nemecolon Woodlands Resort in Pennsylvania. If you guys remember the Pittsburgh date with JoJo, the guys stayed here, there. They stayed there, and they went to Heinz Field to do some stuff with the Steelers, which is really cool. But then she went back to the resort to have, a one-on-one with Luke? Or was it Chase or Luke? And they went into like this big barrel hot tub. That was at Nemecolon. I also think there may have been like some dog sledding at Nemecolon. So yeah, if you guys remember that episode, you'll be seeing a lot more of that resort coming up. This is being speculated because they're saying that the hotel is unavailable for booking as of like late September through early November. And they'll be doing what they did with Claire slash Tayshia's season and be filming the entire series on one location.
Well, at least they'll be good at it. They're going to be good at it. I am shocked a little bit here, Ashley. Here's why. Because it's not like the weather in Pennsylvania is fantastic that time of year. And in fact, it's not great at all.
Well, so my thought is like, are they trying to do a cozy fall scenario? Like, are they trying to have like a winter vibes feel? Because starting in late September in Pittsburgh, it'll probably be like 60s and below. And it'll be a romantic atmosphere, but there definitely will be no bikinis, no pool parties.
Yeah, which, I mean, honestly, I could take or leave that stuff.
Of course.
Like that stuff's always a little awkward. Yeah. It's not exactly like great for a relationship. It always causes drama. Somebody's always hurt, upset, comparing each other to each other. So like, I'm excited to see a fall Bachelor if that were the case. Now, Ashley, I haven't had a chance to speak with Matt yet. I am speaking with him this week. Ooh. I'm excited for it because I hear nothing but great things about him. And I'm really excited to kind of dive into where he's at and where his heart's at in this whole process. It's something I try to do with each Bachelor coming up. So I don't have a read on him yet because I don't know him. But I have a feeling that wherever they're at, Matt James is going to be a terrific Bachelor, and he's going to care about these women a lot.
Godfather of the Bachelors, Ben Higgins, always having his advice. I love it. The
sticking
mentoring
around.
Advice. It's so nice that you get to know these people, and then you can kind of let me in on how they are. And somebody tweeted us or emailed us, and I was like, holy moly, that's so crazy. Did you know that over a year ago, almost a year and a half ago, when Tyler Cameron was on our podcast doing an in-depth, we asked him who should the Bachelor be, and he said, my friend Matt James.
Well, he made
Isn't
it happen.
Isn't that wild?
And it's wild. And Bachelor Nation's pumped for it. I mean, I can tell you that. I know they're going to be pumped for this guy. They're going to come out in droves and support him. And so, hey, I can't tell you I give great advice. Quite honestly, I can't think of any Bachelor that's they've done far greater things than I could have ever told them to, or they've failed miserably. But I always enjoy getting to know them because this is a crazy experience and their world is about to change in so many ways coming up very soon. All right. So I did look up the Bachelorette poster. You're right. Yeah, this is definitely a play. This is definitely makes me curious. I don't know if they're saying she's the cougar going after younger men, but it's hard not to kind of jump to that conclusion after seeing this.
Yeah, it's such an epic movie poster, and it just seems like an exact replica. I do love the tagline, "It's about time."
Claire is looking good, though.
Yeah, she looks really hot. She looks good. Yep, she looks amazing. There's also, there's like a couple taglines that I'm sure they'll eventually start using, like double the trouble, double the drama, twice as something, something. You know, they have to play into that.
We'll see.
All right. Well, after the next break, we are going to be talking about Nick's season because the GOAT episode aired last night. And then we'll be interviewing Alexis, Christina Shulman, and
Angela.
Angela. Oh, so good. All right. Stay tuned.
Obviously, Nick's season of The Bachelor is airing on the GOAT episodes, and we thought it would be awesome to just bring on a plethora of guests and some of the best known and the most loved contestants from his season. Our first, Angela, was born and from Greenville, South Carolina. We know her, for the most part, I would say from Paradise. She, totally. I think, would agree. And she blew up Paradise. Like, I mean, Ashley, Angela hit
Smoke
the scene in Paradise. Just
bombshell.
Everybody was talking about Angela. And so, yes, I think talking about the GOAT episode is important. But we also know her for so much more. Angela, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Angela. So you were on Nick's Patreon. So Nick has this Patreon. He's going to talk to us later in the episode about it. Basically, it's an extension of his podcast where he's doing in-depth interviews basically with the girls from his season in anticipation of his GOAT episode airing. So Angela, when I think of you and Nick's season, I think the number one question that you have to ask is, what the heck was he thinking letting you go on night one? Do you guys address this on the Patreon?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't come out and be like, oh, everybody was mad at me for letting you go. But he, you know, we address, did he regret sending me home night one? So that was interesting to hear from him. And I'm glad that we got to talk about that because I didn't know, you know, I'd heard things, but it was nice to hear it from the actual source.
Do you think, I mean, looking back now, do you wish you would have been around longer for the relationship with Nick or for the experience?
So I was totally there for both, to be honest. And that's something else that we talked about is that's why I was just myself. I didn't try to like go out of my way to, you know, make a scene or cause a ruckus because I wasn't there to be on TV. I was there to see if something could work with him. So I really wanted to see where it could go with him. I loved that he had a big family and he seemed like he was great with his nieces and nephews. And that's something that I was like looking forward to talking to him about. So, I mean, obviously the experience would have been great. I did give him crap because I missed the Backstreet Boys date. That would have been on my bucket list. Hello, I was so mad. So I did give him crap that I didn't get to stick around for that. But I think everything worked out how it should have.
You know what's worse than being eliminated before the Backstreet Boys date? Being in the house still and the girls coming back and saying we had a Backstreet Boys date.
That's actually very true. I never even thought about that. I would have been so mad.
Oh, I would have freaked the heck out. We all know this.
I was totally team BSB. I was BSB over NSYNC all day long.
I was not. I was definitely team NSYNC. Really? That's an argument for another time. I get too fiery. We can't go there right now. Okay, but I do love my Backstreet Boys. Okay, so I want to support Nick's Patreon and not like let too much info out here as well where you can, you know, get it for free. But I do want to know why he said that he eliminated you night one. Come on, come on.
So he said there was two reasons. The main reason, I guess he said, is one of the higher up producers thought I was boring. He was like, she's got to go. And no. The second, and we know who it is. And the second, and that makes sense to me. But, and then the second reason was he was like, and I didn't fight for you. And I told him, I was like, well, I want a man who will fight for me. And he said he didn't fight for me because our conversation was kind of like blah. And he didn't want to send anybody home that night that he hadn't talked to. And so he did talk to me for like 2 minutes and it wasn't like out of this world. And so he was like, all right, whatever. So yeah.
Interesting. I think it's impossible. Absolutely impossible on night one to really have a fair read on anybody's, I don't like if they're boring or not boring, because the night is so chaotic and it's so anxiety ridden. And there's so many moving parts that like, I don't think you can make that decision that night. Like you have to get to know these women or the men for that example during Bachelorette.
Yeah. He said like, it was kind of just a whirlwind. And I mean, again, I don't want to give away too much on what he said about whether or not he wished he would have kept me, but I liked the answer that he gave is what I'll say in regards to that.
Okay. Okay. Do you, I just find it weird not to like give too much personal detail about Nick, because we all know that he's one of our close friends, but you're like very much his type. So I thought that he'd be keeping you around just for physical reasons for a while.
He did tell me, he said that I was like in the top tier of like physical attractiveness, like wise that night. Mm-hmm. So I think producer had a lot of influence, but also he obviously that's not everything. And he said like, he didn't fight for me. So it's a little bit of both. I'm too boring.
I think one of the biggest fears. I mean, I think honestly you look back on that time. And I remember being asked often throughout the season, hey, is there anybody you've sent home that you regret sending home? And I remember my answer always being, I guess I don't know, right? Like, I don't know the women well. I don't, for the most part, like, I'm just trying my best to, like, stay above water here. I am intrigued if you think, like, if you would have been around, do you think there would have been a shot with Nick? Like, do you see that relationship forming?
I don't know. Maybe again, like you said, like you don't, I didn't really get a chance to get to know him. I thought there was definite potential there, obviously, or else I wouldn't have agreed to do the show, but I did have a feeling like going in that I was going to like get sent home night one, or I was going to make it towards the end. Mm-hmm. I felt like I wasn't really going to fall in between. So, yeah. I mean, I think that there was definite potential, but looking back, I mean, I don't know. That conversation the first night was so awkward. So I kind of, I don't know. I think it will. So I think I was a little bit in my head, obviously, because so I followed up the conversation with Liz. Like he was talking to Liz. I'd interrupt them twice.
If you guys don't remember like, Liz, they banged before the season.
Not me and Nick.
Yeah, not Liz and Nick. Let's be clear. It's Liz and
I was like, wait a minute. And so I interrupted and he was like, oh, hey, we need a few more minutes. And I didn't know that they knew each other. And so I had to go back in and I'm like thinking in my head, oh, great. They're having an amazing conversation that they don't want to end. And I have to follow that. And then we got like a 2 minute convo. It was just, it wasn't good.
Oh, Angela, he was probably in such a wrong mindset.
He had to flustered.
I guess I don't know if I can say this, but he told me that like he wanted to talk to anybody except her at that moment. So
you can say whatever you want now. That's why this podcast exists. I have a theory about you. I have a theory that you are not boring at all.
No.
In fact, I have a theory that you are very feisty. And this is why. Angela, I've seen you in person a couple times. You're obviously beautiful. And you've been on the podcast and you're a great conversationalist. But my fiance and I were down in Mexico for a wedding at one point. And you walked down the aisle as fierce as I've ever seen anybody before. I mean, it was a tangible fierceness. You are strutting your stuff, and Jess, my fiance, who doesn't watch a lot of the show, who I was trying to keep up with on like updating on who was who, she looks at me as you're walking down the aisle and goes, "Holy cow." Like there was something about you in that walk that was representing a lot more than just the strut down the aisle. Angela, am I wrong or am I right?
Everyone talks about the walk. All right, first off, I blacked out. Like, you know,
didn't
when
look
you're
like
so
it. Didn't look like
I blacked out, but I honestly I didn't go into it thinking like I'm gonna like work this
runway.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a model, and so like I just go, I see a straight like line, like a runway, you know what I mean? And I was in it. I don't know. I really didn't like intentionally be like F you walk, you know what I mean? That wasn't my intention, but it's my job. I don't know. I went into autopilot.
Angela, it was one of the most fantastic, dramatic, extra moments I've ever witnessed in my life. I was like squealing, and Jared like had to calm me down. He was like, "Ashley, don't be obnoxious. This is somebody's wedding." Anyway,
Look, maybe I'm not boring after all. I don't think I'm boring, but that producer thought I was boring.
All right, but the sass that you put across was all about Clay Harbor, who was your boyfriend for a while during an off season. You guys actually never really dated on Bachelor in Paradise, but you dated between your two seasons of Bachelor in Paradise. And he recently started dating a girl from 90 Day Fiance, and they were having dates air on TV because they hadn't met yet because of quarantine. What's going on there? Are you following his story, and how does it make you feel?
No, I'm not following his story, and it honestly makes me feel nothing. Okay. I've been so over that whole thing since I got on the beach like last Paradise. Like I said this before, but literally the moment that I knew that he stepped onto the beach in Paradise, like whenever I found that out, everything inside of me for him just like went dead. Like I don't have any ill will towards him. I hope he's happy, and like I hope he has a great life, but there is zero part of me that would ever, like, I never miss him or like miss us or anything. Like I hope he's happy, but I don't really care to follow his story. I'm sure he doesn't care to follow mine either.
So fair.
You definitely didn't like love his relationship with Nicole as for what we saw air on Paradise. Do you and Nicole have any sort of friendship now?
I wouldn't say we have a friendship, but I mean, she did apologize to me for, you know, her actions, and I appreciated that. And she said, you know, she misjudged me and everything. And we actually did talk at the reunion show for Paradise last summer. They didn't show it. They filmed it, but they never showed it. And she was, you know, just like, "I should have listened to you. You were right. I'm really sorry." And I was like, "All good. You know, I'm not a person to hold grudges." It obviously hurt, you know, watching it back, because I didn't know everyone was saying all of that. But I mean, no, her and I are fine. We're on good terms. We don't talk or anything, but there's no ill will there.
Angela, before we let you go, is there anything that's going on in your life? I mean, obviously, right now, I feel like life's like molasses for a lot of us. There's just a very slow moving process. But is there anything going on in your life that our listeners would be intrigued by? Or if there's not, then how are you keeping yourself busy during the pandemic?
I am, you know, modeling is kind of really slow. It's been slow since the pandemic. You know, because we can't get like close and do shoots and stuff like that. But I do have a YouTube channel that I've had for a year. The year anniversary was just a few weeks ago, and I really like to do that. I haven't been doing it as much, obviously, but I am passionate about that. I love that. And then I've been at home with my family in Maryland for the last month, just spending time here, taking care of some things here. But yeah, I mean, life is is pretty slow. I've just been trying to do as much as I can and work on my YouTube channel and hang out with my family because I never get this much time with them. So it's been good.
Good for
you. It's a good family time.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And it's, by the way, Ashley, happy anniversary. That's exciting.
Thank you. That's
so I saw
sweet.
That 1 year.
It flew by, mind-boggled. Don't understand how that happened. It felt like 5 months tops.
Oh my gosh. Well, good. I'm so happy for you guys and all these pictures. You look gorgeous.
Hey, Angela, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. Just to let you know, if Ashley and I were Nick, we would have never got rid of you on night one. Just to let you know that, okay?
Well, thank you. I love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, the girl who made a big splash. Pun intended. We're going to have Alexis on the phone. Up next. All right, next up, we got our Jersey girl from Secaucus, New Jersey. It's Alexis. She, of course, was on Nick's season, and she was eliminated in week 5. She came back for season 4 of Paradise, and that was the show season. And she was eliminated there in week 2, but she's had a boyfriend ever since and is in a wonderful, loving relationship. Alexis Waters, welcome to
Hello.
The Almost Famous Podcast.
Hello, hello. Weirdly, me and my boyfriend just broke up, so this is breaking news.
Oh, I think you're kidding.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I just hate him today.
Why do you hate
him
today?
Because I was like, I feel strongly about you two.
No. He just, he couldn't fill out, the unemployment thing, and I'm like, Tyler, it is literally 4 questions. Like, you cannot, I have things to do. He's not tech savvy at all, so he doesn't even know how to turn on the TV. This is what I have to deal with.
This is you just made my heart sink. That was a terrible joke. So, question for you though. So let's just start with your boyfriend talk.
Okay.
On the questionnaire that we had you fill out, you said a fun fact is the most embarrassing moment is your ex telling you that you had a mustache at a Giants game. So is your current boyfriend now in more trouble than your ex was then?
No, the ex will forever be an asshole.
I just want everybody to know that statement is the most Jersey statement, and it resonates with my soul so hard. Having a mustache at a Giants game. that is me. And there's something about the lighting at MetLife that will show your every flaw at a 1 o'clock game.
Yes, it was so hot out. And I had a full blown, I just felt the sun was shining on my mustache.
That's what it does.
And he calls me out right before the game. So then I was so insecure and just thinking about my mustache the entire game. I couldn't even enjoy it. And then I was the stadium MetLife is 5 minutes away from my house. So I was legit texting my friends to bring me a tweezer or a razor just so I can feel better about my, all his friends were with them too. So I'm they all probably are staring at my mustache. It was just a really bad day.
What a jerk. So let's just for everybody out there listening, here's one thing you learn as you grow up, right? It's not uncommon. It's actually a very, very common thing, if not everybody, every woman has upper lip hair. And so if you call somebody out for that, it's shocking. You obviously have not dated, nor have you been around somebody long enough to see that this is not shocking. This just happens, right?
Yeah, no. But then I started getting lasered on my mustache and I started getting melasma.
Yep.
So I was in Mykonos with Tyler, and I'm not even lying. He was like, it looks like you have a 5 o'clock shadow. And I was like, I can't catch a break.
Girl.
Like, I
It was in Greece that my melasma mustache was also at its peak. And I was like, I have more of a shadow there than Jared does. And he's been growing his beard for a week.
I don't think Tyler has, can grow facial hair.
Well, neither can Jared.
I was going to say, that was more of a knock on.
I can grow more facial hair than Tyler.
That was more of a knock on Jared than it was anybody else. Hey, yeah. Well, Alexis, I love this conversation because my fiance is into skincare now.
Oh, congratulations, too.
Thank you. And she, like, I don't know if the right word, but, like, struggles with melasma or has melasma. And so, like, I hear about melasma very often. Somehow, some way, sure, I'm getting educated on it.
Yeah. No, it's I got it from laser, so I don't laser my face anymore. And then when you're in the sun, you're not supposed to be in the sun, but, like,
sunscreen doesn't even help it. It's really, just like being around the sun and heat makes it worse. And I think it's like something that millennial girls are having more than any other generation, because I've never heard of this term or more girls complaining about it than I have in the past year or two.
No, I had a full blown like 5 o'clock shadow and beard.
Well,
like it was, and like the sun was shining. I was just like, I'm just gonna deal with this mustache. I just own it now.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
As I am.
To summarize all of this, ladies, you aren't alone. You're perfectly fine. Find a guy that will just own it with you. And Alexis, we could talk about you and your life, I think, probably for the whole podcast, but we do have to transition over to, as Ashley was saying earlier, like the GOAT episode, Nick Vial season is airing. What do you think about it coming back on? And is your boyfriend going to watch it with you?
Yeah. Like, what does your boyfriend think about this season re-airing? I would say that your boyfriend shouldn't have a problem, because I don't even know if you and Nick ever kissed.
No. Yeah. We did kiss once, and it was just because I was on a track and field date and I'm like really athletic. And I threw the shot put, and they had like whoever threw the shot put the furthest had to kiss him, and I didn't kiss him yet. And I was like, somebody throw it further than me, like someone throw it further than me, because I was so nervous. My heart was like literally beating inside of my vagina, and like I won. So, but it was like the whole situation was just, I think it was like day two, whatever. And I won the shot, but I had to run up and kiss him and make out with him. And it was like the whole production crew, like five Olympic athletes. And I'm just like so nervous, but it was actually a really good make out. And like my vagina danced, I was like, ooh, I might be into him. And then I wasn't.
Okay. So when did you realize that you weren't into him?
Well, the first night I don't remember. So that one doesn't count.
You mean the night that you were in the dolphin suit you have no recollection of?
Yeah, shocking, right? Don't remember that night. So, no, we just had more of a friendship vibe. Like, he was fun to make out with, obviously, just because he was the only guy there. He was the only piece of meat there. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I just feel like we had more of a friendship than anything.
No, but when did you really – when did you decide it was just a friendship?
I kissed him. The only time my vagina danced was the track and field date, and I made out with him like every time, whatever, because I didn't want to talk. And then he just made these jokes, and I was just like, he was just like somebody's jelly, and it just like, I don't know, it like was like not creeped me out. And then he said another joke. And I was just like, oh, he was like, who's ready to turn up? And I was like, not me.
I can't imagine Nick ever saying that off camera.
No, he goes, who's ready to turn up? Like, and did the, like a knob switch. And I was just like, no, I'm not doing turning up like that.
I'm turning out. I'm going home.
Yeah, I'm turning out. And then he was like, Alexis, don't be jelly, like jealous. And I was like, oh my god, no.
It seemed like as he was so much older than a lot of you that like he really went into full-on dad mode.
Yeah, he was 36. I went on the show when I was 23. So
you were 23.
But I mean I have four older sisters, so I kind of matured faster than normal. I feel like, I mean, not really. I showed up in a dolphin shark costume that went and got blacked out, wasted. So I'm really mature. I was so mature. But no, I really liked Nick as the bachelor though, but Tyler could care less. He just, we just did an interview with Chris Harrison and Tyler got cut.
Oh, he got, why? Why? Is he not a talkative man?
I mean, I don't know why he got cut, but I feel so bad because his nanny and like his whole family is like, when is Tyler going to be on? And like, I found out that he didn't make the cut.
Oh,
oh wow.
Brutal.
And I'm like, loser. But he was like, I mean, I think I was just too much to handle that they couldn't bring him on.
Did you talk about your vagina dancing?
To Chris Harrison?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was it.
And I did the dolphin call again.
What?
I was so nervous to talk to Chris. I don't know why. I took like 5 tequila shots before the interview. So I kind of like blacked out.
You would think that like you would like learn from past experiences, but that's probably not the way to go. That's probably not the answer to making this work. So the summary is, you don't think Tyler's going to watch this. And he really like doesn't show a lot of interest in that experience.
I wouldn't have my business that I had. I wouldn't have met
Hoop
him.
Hoop Nation.
Sorry. I get really excited. But I wouldn't have met him if it wasn't for going on the show. So he has to appreciate it.
Oh yeah.
Because if Caitlin Bristow didn't dump Nick Vile, then I wouldn't have gone on and met Rachel, who introduced me to Tyler.
I'm telling you.
So I found love through it all.
So many couples have found their forever through the ties that The Bachelor gave them. Very, very cool. Before we let you go, I do want to talk about the producer that somehow influenced you to wear the dolphin suit. Did you have a beautiful gown picked out that night? And then you were like, yeah, screw it. Bring me the suit.
No. So I was actually stoned when I put my job title as aspiring dolphin trainer. And I thought it was hilarious at the time.
You were stoned I thought that you filled out that survey, or at least I did, when I was quarantined, yes, a quarantine, before COVID, at the hotel that we stay in for casting weekend. Was that where you filled this out? Did you bring some weed?
No. I filled it out after I went to a casting in Fort Lauderdale, and they handed me an envelope, and then I had to send that in. So that was my dream job when I was younger, a dolphin trainer. So like, I was just really high and I just put aspiring dolphin trainer. So when we were going about like the night, about the first night, I had a red dress and everybody's wearing a red dress.
Yeah.
Thank God. So thank God I didn't. But I'm like weird and I don't care what people think. And I kind of wanted to do something. I just wanted to show up like the life of the party and be like, what's up, bitches? And I was like, the dolphin suit was out of stock, so we just had to roll with the shark. And I was like, I'm going to just keep saying it's a dolphin until people start believing me.
You did a great job. You were life of the party. You always are the life of the party. Before we let you go, Alexis, you did just mention your company. For anybody out there listening, just give them a quick summary of what you're doing, where they can find it, and why they want to purchase from you.
Thanks, Ben. I mean, right now, my business has been hit hard, obviously, because nobody's going out, but my hoops are the best. I don't know a lot in life, but I do know a good pair of hoops. So you can find me at hoopnationbyalexis.com, and you guys can get Flash 25 for 25% off. And then also Raven and I have a podcast called Girls Night, which we just started. So that's been really fun.
Off the podcast.
Yeah. I cock blocked him.
Yeah. I'm sure he's
doing
just fine.
So it's no longer about their relationship.
Yeah, it's no longer date night. It's girls night now, but it's fun. I love it. So yeah, I'm doing the hoops are still, if you want them, I'm giving you, your listeners, a code Flash25 for 25% off. And you can find me at @AlexisWaters_.
You're the best. Alexis, thanks for coming on, and good luck on the good episode.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
Oh my God. You're going to die at my episode. I was not okay. My interview with Chris Harrison is so embarrassing. I'm like, I am not well.
Well, we look forward to it. And so do our listeners. And Alexis, I think we all expect it to be, if anything, but entertaining. Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys. Bye.
All right. So from a girl who made Nick laugh to a girl that made Nick cry a lot, Christina is coming up next.
Next guest from The Bachelor season with Nick is Christina Schulman. She obviously was a contestant, eliminated in week 7, but that's not the last time we saw her. She also returned for the fourth season of Bachelor in Paradise, which was one of the biggest storylines from Paradise that season. She's with us today on the Almost Famous podcast. Christina, welcome.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Hey, Christina. Where in the world have you been during the past couple of months? I feel like you've been a wanderer.
A little bit, I would say. I mean, I kept it to myself when it was needed to, just staying at home. But I did make a couple trips. Like, I did go to Antigua. That was fun and needed when quarantine was kind of like lifted and travel borders open. So I don't know. I was just doing my thing for a little bit.
I feel like everybody thinks of you with Dean. Nobody thinks of you with Nick. Is this weird to have Nick's season re-air?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it is. I was thinking about that and I was like, it's just strange putting yourself back into the kind of like 4 years ago and think that that was even a relationship or a potential one. So, but yeah, I mean, I feel like I had more of a relationship maybe with Dean than I did with Nick. So I can understand why viewers would see that.
We obviously have gotten to know you throughout the past couple of years. And I remember the Christina on Nick season who really, you were vulnerable. You shared your story. It impacted millions. How has life changed? Obviously, a couple seasons of Paradise are thrown in there. But how has life changed since, you know, this season of The Bachelor?
I'd say in the most wonderful way possible. I just think it naturally opens up many doors and it depends like which one you take. But for me, I always had this drive to do more. And I wanted to move to California at some point and I didn't know I was going to be able to do that. But I don't know. It's just sharing this story and touching so many lives was, I didn't understand the impact it was going to have. After the messages I started receiving, I was like, wow, this is bigger than me. So I'm glad I was able to do that, inspire in that way.
You talked to Nick very openly about your adoption and just how horrible life was in the orphanage in Russia before you came over to America when you were 12, right? Mm-hmm. Did you talk to Nick on his Patreon episode with you about just how emotional he got over, one, you telling the story, and two, when he had to let you go?
I don't think we necessarily touched the dive too deep into the story whenever we had the one-on-one date, but it was difficult for him to like let me go. And I think maybe he was thinking more into like what other people would think, like, oh, like this girl, poor girl from the orphanage eating lipstick and whatnot. But I mean, it was, the process needed to happen the way it did. And I understand like people need to go home at some point. And I didn't want any like people feeling sorry for me or whatnot, like just because of my story and the way it is, it's just part of me. But yeah, we did cover a little bit of how difficult
it
was.
You've made some really close friends since Nick's season. Who is it that you hang out with the mm-hmm. most now, and what do those friendships represent to you?
Good question. I'd say I hang out with Whitney Friendsway more so. She lives literally like 2 blocks from me, so I can walk over to her place. It's just a given. Definitely Rachel. Anytime she comes to LA, it's really nice to catch up every time. I talk to Alexis. I talk to Astrid here and there. It's just, we kind of keep up quite a bit with each other, which is fun. Alexis, I'm just like sporting her hoops all the time.
Plug for you, Alexis. Do you have the hoops on right now?
I don't, but she will tell you, like, I'm her biggest supporter.
They're so really adorable. They're really great hoops. And yeah, you can't have enough. Hoops are just a go-to.
Well, Christina, we've obviously been able to follow your story. The ins and the outs and the ups and the downs, and we look forward to many more memories. We're excited to watch this GO episode because of the familiar faces like yourself. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Thanks for sharing some time with us. And then obviously Nick, who we're going to talk to you in just a second on his Patreon. Christina, thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's always nice to catch up with former Bachelor cast, Bachelor Nation peeps. They seem to be doing well. They're obviously all thriving. Nick's season did have some characters that stood out. You know, we think of one of our favorites, Corinne. Now, obviously, almost famous favorite is Taylor Nolan. Both of them were on this show. It's good to see it back on television again where we first met them.
Yeah, it's fun because now I know Taylor is not, I'll be honest, as annoying as I thought she was on the show. I think she's fantastic in real life, right? But I thought on the show, I was like, oh, this girl and her emotional intelligence and thinking that she's so much smarter and like above all these women, right? In all these situations. And now I meet her in real life and she's nothing like that. And then you meet Corinne in real life and you realize that she has a lot more character. She's a lot more serious. And she has a bigger heart, I think, than it came across on TV.
They're incredible. I mean, let's go down the list for a second. Not only do you get three women that we were able to talk to, Christina, Alexis, and Angela, but then you have to pull out some of the names that maybe you forgot were even on this season because they've done far crazier things. Again, Corinne and Taylor. You also have Rachel Lindsay. You have Raven. You obviously have Vanessa. I mean, we go on the list here. There are just some incredible humans that went on this show this season. Ashley, one of the things I wanted to bring up to you about this season was a specific date. And we haven't really done this in a breakdown before, but this date stands out to me because of how awkward it was. It's the wedding date where all the women dressed up in wedding dresses. Was that not, I mean, it's just reminding myself of that. Was that not one of the wildest group dates that you can imagine?
That was. I wouldn't like it, I don't think. Because no. I'd be like, I only want to wear a wedding dress the day I get married. Or, the day that I'm trying on wedding dresses to be with the guy that I know I'm going to be with. Not when there's still 20 other women in the running. Don't they say it's like bad luck to try on a wedding dress unless you actually have like a ring on your finger? I'm pretty sure that's a phrase out there.
Is that true?
So that was super awkward. You know what was also awkward about this season that just stood out? And even before I watched the recap, remember how Raven talked about how she like hadn't experienced certain things sexually?
Yeah.
And then they made it seem like she experienced that in the fantasy suite.
Yeah, with the monologue, they like did the like monologue with her like skipping and stuff.
Yes. So it looks like they pretended like it was a fairy tale or like that scene in 500 Days of Summer where he's like doing the Hall & Oates dance. Yeah. So
such a good movie.
That was awkward, especially now that we know that they didn't even have sex in the fantasy suite. Nick has been very open that he only slept with Vanessa.
Well, again, there's another name that comes up from this season. And, Raven is somebody that I'm a fan of. But I can't even remember her on the show because I can only picture her with Adam. And I forgot that she got second. Like that she was literally in the running with Nick. I honestly just totally spaced that out of my mind. It was Vanessa and Nick in my head. And then the rest of these women went on to do other stuff. I completely forgot that Raven was the runner up.
Yeah, I think of Rachel and Vanessa being sort of at the end because I do think that Raven and Adam are cemented in my head together. But I do think that he's kept up a relationship, a friendship with Rachel that I associate Nick and Rachel together and Vanessa. I mean, I associate Nick and Rachel and then Vanessa and Nick.
But
summarize all of this, there were some incredible people on this season. This was a great season. Nick was a great lead. You know, this is kind of what I would call Nick, you know, was a villain of sorts in some way or another during Andy's season, came back through Caitlin's season onto Paradise, and people were starting to ask, wait, who is this Nick guy? I actually like him. And now he becomes the Bachelor. And it felt like, for the most part, people really enjoyed watching Nick as the Bachelor because, one, I think he was real to himself. And two, I think his cast of women were standouts. I mean, I think that was a cast of women that really made this season great.
And it actually, in so many ways, became the Corinne show, or seemed like Corinne was the lead for at least 6 weeks, because it was like every single week she was the person everyone was talking about. She was the first kind of quote villain that like, well, you couldn't help but also enjoy watching. You were like, man, I can't stand this girl. But at the same time, she's so outrageous. I have to keep watching her. You didn't even love to hate her. You just kind of loved her.
Yeah. And now you just love Corinne. She's been awesome to this podcast, so we appreciate her. Well, it's another week of The GOAT. Nick's season just aired. It's also into a new month. It's now September. How crazy is that? But Ashley and I will be back once again with another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Again, as mentioned earlier, make sure you go back and listen to Andy Dorfman's in-depth. She talks about Nick Vile quite a bit, but also just talks about her life and who she is as a person. And it was super, super enjoyable to hear.
Biggest tease, if you guys aren't yet sold on listening to Andy's episode, she reveals to us who, if she had to go back and do it all again, she would have chosen if she was the Bachelorette.
That is something to listen to. Hey, with that, this has been the Almost Famous podcast. I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.